Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
They're Tolbert and Copes, and they're back on The Sports Leader. Find us on Insta at KNBR on Instagram. This is KNBR 104.5 at 680.
It was good work, you know, going against somebody different in a different environment. But me, I didn't like it too. I feel like it was a waste of time personally.
Yeah,
but
no, that's kind of why I was getting that.
Yeah.
It kind of seemed boring to us, so I didn't know.
It was boring for sure.
Brandon Ayuk on the boring joint practices with the Minnesota Vikings. You know who wasn't bored? The second string corners who were dealing with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. A lot of work to get done there in the secondary.
That was a waste of time.
The coaches
love that.
By the way, Kyle says he gets more out of that than he does the preseason games. And Ayuk's like, yeah, no. It was boring as hell. Here to talk about that and the game tomorrow, 4 o'clock kick. We'll have it on KGO 810, pregame at 1 o'clock. David Lombardi covers the Niners for The Athletic. David joins us courtesy of the UMA guest line. What's going on, Dave? How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Brandon Ayuk sounded like somebody who was bored of hanging out at a mall all week because their hotel is right next to the Mall of America, and I guess they're just hanging out there. So he'd rather have been back in Santa Clara. Although during training camp, they have to stay at the hotel anyway. So it's not like you could do stuff that's not that boring, you know. I think everybody's just camped out at this point, and camp is officially over. We have now moved into kind of season planning mode. So camp ended with yesterday's practice.
He's getting tired of Orange Julius and hot dog on a stick. That's what he's tired of.
Sbarro Pizza, too.
Yeah, Sbarro Pizza.
Is that still the biggest mall in the world? I don't know if the mall. They used to have the title. I know they bragged about that for years, that Mall of America in Minneapolis. I don't know if somebody built something bigger, though.
How about that being your city's calling card? Like, that's the one thing everybody wants to go see in Minnesota. What are you doing? Going to the mall? Check out the coaster, get a Cinnabon. it's a funny landmark to have. Speaking of the game tomorrow, I was just reading your piece about the guys you're paying attention to or what we should focus on, because Kyle Shanahan did say that he was probably not going to play a lot of the starters. You were going to get a lot of work this week against Minnesota, and he thought he was going to get more out of that in sort of structured situations where he could set things up the way he wanted. So who are you paying attention to? What's your focus for tomorrow's game?
Well, yeah, I think this year it's going to be interesting to see how the 49ers handle it, because normally that final preseason game is the dress rehearsal game is on a Sunday or on a weekend. This year it's against Houston on a Thursday. So I don't know how they're going to play this final week, but Shanahan has hinted that he's going to use that Thursday as the dress rehearsal, meaning that he won't play the starters or most of the starters on Saturday tomorrow against Minnesota. But that's, you know, he left some wiggle room there. That's not definitively answered by him. So first off, it's just wait and see to, you know, figure out what they actually do. But we're guessing that it's going to be a lot of the more unheralded guys that we should watch this weekend. And, you know, I put out a list in the article on Athletic today. I said Jordan Mason, undrafted rookie running back out of Georgia Tech, 223-pounder, the biggest back, but ran the triple option in college. And with both Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon being hurt right now, we don't know about the extent of Sermon's injury, but he limped off the practice field yesterday. It'll be a chance for Mason. And you know, even if he just makes the practice squad this year, the 49ers always go through the full room of running backs. So there's a good chance that if he shows enough, he will be called upon at some point this season. And I think it's really intriguing that he ran the triple option at Georgia Tech, because I think that translates to a lot of what the 49ers will learn with outside zone. I would also look out for Malik Turner. Everybody's talking about the 49ers only taking 5 receivers. I think they take 6 because they're going to need a gunner, and he was a good gunner for both the Seahawks and the Cowboys. So he's going to have a chance to shine on offense if Ayuk and Samuel sit. Marcelino McCrary-Ball, linebacker. He had the interception off the deflection in the week 1 of the preseason. Guy is fast. I mean, 4.5 40. It's really a new era linebacker, you know, a position downsized and they can move. And you know, McCrary-Ball was working at the Home Depot a few months ago.
Wow.
He got the call he was on the beach with his 3-year-old daughter. He got the call from John Lynch back in May, and the time he had a job at the Home Depot. Now he's gunning for, obviously, a higher paying job with the 49ers. But I think, you know, he has a good inside track to make at least the practice squad. So watch him at linebacker. Watch Pontrez Knight, defensive back. He's moving up the pecking order. He can play some nickel. He can play some safety. He had a pick the other day, and I think everybody's going to want to see Jason Poe, who's the bowling ball of an offensive lineman who has history playing fullback in community college. And if they don't start the starters tomorrow, if they put up Kyle Juszczyk, they don't have Josh Hokett anymore. He's with the Cardinals now. Maybe Poe gets some creative snaps at an H-back or a fullback role. Who knows? Anything could happen because this is going to be kind of unpredictable territory with these two preseason games so close together.
Did the 49ers hit another fifth rounder with Samuel Womack?
It looks like it. You know, I think that they found a position that is still undervalued by most of the league in the nickel cornerback spot. Everybody is talking about, oh, we need an outside corner. We need an outside corner. And those guys are premium picks in the draft. But then when somebody like Womack shows up and he's only 5'9", the league says, he can't play on the outside. He's just a slot guy. Let's wait till the fifth round to, you know, start talking about picking guys like him. Well, a couple things here. Samuel Womack, despite being only 5'9", has the arm length of Richard Sherman, who's 6'3". So, and if you think about what you need from a physical standpoint for slot cornerback, you actually want the guy to be shorter so he's got more agility in a closed space, but you also would like him to have the long arms that go with the shorter stature so he can break up passes and get into throwing lanes. And you saw on both of the picks last week, the long arms came into play for Samuel Womack. And now the second thing, though, is that I think that's now, you know, the considering slot cornerback to be less valuable than outside cornerback, I think that's a completely outdated way of thinking because offenses in the NFL have evolved. We saw Cooper Kupp almost break the NFL single season receiving record last year, and he lines up in the slot over 60% of the time. So if you don't have somebody to cover Cooper Kupp on the inside, what are you even doing in the NFC West? So yeah. I think that the 49ers might have found like a price efficiency there with Samuel Womack, and I really think the rest of the league is going to start drafting these guys sooner for slot corner.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Were you surprised? We're talking to David Lombardi, by the way, of The Athletic on the UMA guest line, covers the San Francisco 49ers for The Athletic. Were you surprised by because of the lack of experience at that position, that they did cut Darqueze Dennard, or was this just something that you sort of saw coming based on the performance of Womack in training camp? Because we don't see all those snaps. We don't see all the practice takes and reps that they're getting there. And then he shows up in the game under the lights a little bit and shows out. So they immediately cut Dennard. What was your take on that, and did you sort of expect it after what you saw from Womack in camp?
I didn't expect it this soon, no. I mean, so I thought that Dennard would start the season for the 49ers, and then they would – transition over the course of the season to Samuel Womack. But a couple things happened. One, Womack had a hell of a week last week. He was breaking up passes left and right, including two in the end zone from Trey Lance intended for Juwan Jennings. I mean, he started to really assert himself in practice, and then that carried straight over into the game with just awesome coverage. I mean, you saw it on those two picks. Everything that we talked about from the physical tools department of Samuel Womack coming into the 49ers, coming into the NFL, showed up over the course of practice and then also in that game. On top of that, Quantrez Knight, undrafted free agent out of UCLA, kind of he was the heart and soul of that defense at UCLA. He has played really well this camp, and he started showing up last week. And all of a sudden, the 49ers found themselves in a spot where they're like, oh, gee, well, Samuel Womack, I mean, he's ascending right now. He's playing really well. We have confidence that he'll be able to finish this kind of push for the starting job if he starts getting more first-team reps. And they said, we need to give Quantrez Knight some more meaningful action and practice. And it got to the point where they're like, okay, well, we can't do that if Darqueze Dennard is still on the roster. And don't get me wrong, Dennard was a godsend for the 49ers. Showed up in Week 18 last year when K-1 was out on the COVID list and played those crucial 18 snaps against the Rams, learned the playbook overnight. was actually helping mentor the young guys, Womack and Knight, who eventually replaced him this year. But it had just accelerated so fast, the growth of the rookies, that there's only limited snap space, right, at these practices. And it made a lot more sense to cut Denard loose sooner rather than later. They felt confident enough to take that risk, roll the dice, and put it in the young guy's hands.
How did Lance look during the scrimmages?
Let's put it this way. Trey, I think, got a lot better over the course of training camp. I think that we saw he completed over 60% of his passes against the Vikings. And we saw an up and down, right, kind of pattern over the middle of training camp where it'd be one great day, one terrible day, one great day, one terrible day. And I really think he leveled that out against the Vikings. Both days were kind of like 11 of 18. He made a couple spectacular plays. There was a fourth down conversion to Deebo Samuel where he had a roll out of the pocket. I will say the 49ers offensive line didn't look good, and that remains the number one concern with this team. They logged what would have been four sacks on the first day, and Trey was running a bit for his life on the second day as well. So I think the main thing, though, is that he seems to have evened out the volatility of earlier in camp, where it was great, bad, great, bad, great, bad. And he made a few plays, and he made the most out of some suspect pass protection in Minnesota.
Talking to David Lombardi on the UMA guest line. I wanted to ask about the Jimmy Garoppolo situation just briefly here because the Deshaun thing has now been settled or handled, and we know it's 11 games and $5 million. It doesn't seem to make any sense to me that they would try to add Jimmy Garoppolo. Does it seem to you like it's, I don't want to say foregone conclusion, but that Seattle is still the favorite? I wouldn't blame Jimmy if he gets cut on the 10th and then says, you know what, I played the nice guy role. I did all this for basically a year. I sat here, was unable to get moved. That's a team that needs a starting quarterback, and I could go up there and play on the West Coast, be pretty happy for the next couple of years maybe, and get to compete against the Niners. Is that what you expect to happen, or do you have any thoughts on what the future of Jimmy is?
Well, I think the most likely, you know, scenario is that they do have to release him at some point, because all these teams who might be interested in him know that they probably have to do that, right? Because they've already played all their cards. So unless somebody gets really desperate and needs him right now, it's looking like nobody's willing to send that draft capital over. And in that case, you know, Cleveland might be interested as well, right? I think the main thing right now for any team that might need a quarterback that would potentially be interested in Jimmy Garoppolo is we don't want to send the draft capital over if he's just going to be sitting out there willing to sign with us a little bit later. So if it does get to that point and Jimmy is a free agent, then he could take wherever the best offer is. And, you know, even right now, the contract, none of it's guaranteed. So potentially if a trade does happen before then, it could get reworked. But I think that it's the draft compensation, and nobody wants to trade something that you know, nobody wants to pay something for something that they could theoretically get for free in terms of draft compensation in a couple of weeks. So Seattle's going to be on the table. I don't think the quarterback situation is looking particularly rosy there. And, you know, Pete Carroll, it's funny, you see some interviews with him. He's like, I know he's always Mr. Rah-Rah about his roster, but this year he seems like really, really optimistic about what he has outside of the quarterback position as far as young players on defense. Yeah. And people are like, what the hell? Because, you know, the narrative about the Seahawks have been a terrible team rebuilding year. But based on the way Pete's talking, they might actually be a competent quarterback away from, at least, you know, in their eyes, right? And that's what would make them want to go get a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'll keep an eye on that. But Cleveland is definitely the more veteran team, right, that you would expect to want a vet while Watson is out for these 11 games.
How would you characterize Javon Kinlaw's camp?
Man, that guy, I mean, I'm sure you saw the video of him just walking off the field yesterday with his shirt off. He's cut weight, so, I mean, just chiseled now. He's happy now, you know. I've talked to him a couple times, and you see just the demeanor out there on the sideline. He was playing through pain in his first couple years, and especially after the injury against Dallas, which was in December of the 2020 season. That was an ACL injury that, for whatever reason, I don't think was properly diagnosed. And, you know, he tried to play on it in 2021, and he was hurting. And, I mean, that's a huge guy to be dealing with an ACL injury to try to be playing on that. And obviously that's going to be very frustrating. But they found out the issue last year. They went in there with Dr. Neil Elatrache, who was the same doctor who performed Nick Bosa's ACL surgery. They got it cleaned up. He's healthy. You know, he's cut some weight, so he's looking spry but huge at the same time. And he has the opportunity now. You know, everybody's excited for him around the 49ers. Chris Kocerek, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, his teammates. You could tell Javon's excited. So he just has to carry it over onto the field now. But I could tell you this. This is the first time that he's had a clean bill of health, that he's had a fresh start health-wise since he's come to the NFL. So I think that, you know, he deserves a chance to show it, and we just got to sit back and see what he does.
Dude, Neil Elatrache is like the McDonald's or the Apple, the iPhone of reconstructive surgery. That guy's got the market cornered. I feel like every time a guy goes down, that's the dude who's doing the surgery, right?
And, you know, talk about a resume with Nick Bosa. He could put Nick Bosa came off an ACL and had 15 and a half sacks. You know, it didn't look like he skipped the beat, so. That's the guy you want doing ACL surgery, that's for sure.
He wasn't in the running to be a defensive player of the year candidate until I handled him. So, all right, David Lombardi, appreciate the time today, man. Always fun catching up. Appreciate all the information. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll talk to you down the road, man. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.